Bold Magnificence, Episode 4. Welcome to the Bold Magnificence Podcast, where we share stories from brilliant individuals who are choosing to live in alignment with what lights them up. I'm your host, Nat Karotmatri, and today I'm excited to share a new offering. Twice a month, I will be hosting a community call and group meditation called Allowing Magnificence. This is an opportunity for you and I to get to know each other and for me to support you in making room for your own magnificence. To learn more and to sign up, please visit boldmagnificence.com/events. All right, our guest today is M. Shannon Hernandez. Shannon is the creator of the Content Personality Wheel and founder of the Content Strategy Academy. Her mission is to help business owners become thought leaders through the use of smart content strategy so they can positively impact more people. Shannon continues to inspire others as a content strategist, consultant, and speaker. And you can learn more about Shannon at mshannonhernandez.com. So I've been a member of Shannon's Content Strategy Lab Facebook group for about a year. And it's one of two groups I enjoy participating on a regular basis. Shannon offers so much value to support and engage her community, and she's all about alignment, which is why I'm excited she's here to share her magnificence with you.
So welcome, Shannon.
Thank you so much, Nat. I'm so excited to be here today.
That's wonderful. You know, as I just mentioned, you share so much on Facebook about your life and you know, what's happening for you, what you're excited about. So I'm curious to know today, what's currently lighting you up? Like, how are you expressing your magnificence these days?
These days? Well, you know, because we are connected on Facebook, not only do I share the good, but I share the not so good and the stuff that's annoying me and challenging me and all of that good stuff too. So what really I am excited about and really going to be talking a lot about, and this won't be a surprise to you, is relationships first. And I have been evaluating, I do this about once a quarter, to be honest, you know, when I lay out all my stuff to plan my calendar for the next quarter, I really look at four things, and the things are happiness and growth in my business, friendships and relationships, my personal life, and then my bucket list. And I ask one question for each of these sections, and it's, what do I desire to have more of in each of those? And so, I find misalignments. I find places where I've acted out of alignment. Now I'm having to suffer the consequences until I get it right. So that's really what is lighting me up, is this quarterly kind of assessment and really putting a focus and a voice behind relationships first and why that is so necessary when you're growing a business and growing a brand.
Yeah, so it's obviously not just relationships with other people, but just, you know, your four areas are also speaking to the relationship with yourself.
Exactly, exactly. Which is the most important relationship, because, and the most neglected, I think, because many of us want to give to others, which is great, but when we deplete ourselves, we don't have that energy and the resources to do the work we do. So relationship with self is so important. And that's why I look at these things and my bucket list, because that's the fun part of my life. And I want to keep having fun.
Mm-hmm. Right. And knowing you and what you shared on Facebook, I see that having fun piece also makes its way into everything else that you're doing in terms of like friendships and especially business, because a lot of people leave fun out of their business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? You it's hard to grow a business when it's work and you're not happy and you hate marketing and you don't have enough time, et cetera, et cetera. So fun. We have to put fun back into business and marketing.
Yeah. So what would you say to people that, you know, I see a lot of these people who feel like they can't have fun and play and free time until after they reach a level, you know, a undefined level in their business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what I would say first is this was me a few years ago. And I'm not going to lie, I still hit this sometimes. And when something gets really heavy and it's not fun anymore, that's when I stop and I say, okay, what's going on here? What is this thing or experience trying to tell me, and what needs to shift? So it's a constant check-in. But I love that you said the undefined level of success or whatever it is. And here's the thing is that maybe even 2 years ago, it could have been a year and a half ago. It wasn't that long. I realized I hadn't defined success for myself. And I was waking up every day and just grinding and grinding and grinding and not having fun and working 5, 6, 7, 8 days a week, however many days I could cram in into a week. And I was really kind of miserable. My business was growing, but it wasn't with ease and fun and joy and flow. It was more like push and pull and cry and wonder why it's not working like I want it to be working. And I realized through some journaling, I had never defined what success was for me. And so I never reached it. No matter how much the business grew or how many trips I took or how many clients I had, because I hadn't figured that piece out, I was never successful. So this is really important. And I'm glad you brought it up, because if people haven't defined their version of success, it's like chasing, like being on a hamster wheel. There's like never an end to it.
Mm-hmm. And since you've been defining success, has that definition changed over time, or is it always the same?
Yeah, I started defining success as, well, was I having fun? That was the first one. That's like my first definition. But, you know, then I had to define what was fun. So it wasn't done. Like, I had to go back and do that work too. So was it fun? Is it, I don't say easy, but is it with ease that things are moving along? Because I don't want people to get the impression that everything's easy. It's not, but there's a way to flow with things. So, does it have ease? And am I in alignment with who I am? So when I show up in Facebook and I show up in my marketing and I show up and write crazy newsletters, which you've read, like, is it in alignment with who I am as a person? And that answer is pretty much always yes. Now, the times that I come out of alignment is when things are constricted, I don't have enough support, and I'm overwhelmed and overworked, and then, like, I'm not just having fun anymore. So, yeah, that's the best answer. So every month, I actually set a goal, and I pick two words, you know, that will show me that I'm in alignment for the month. So this month is, I am balanced and blissful.
I like
and
that.
So every day I wake up and I look at the words and I say, okay, am I balanced and am I blissful? And there's been some hard days this month. We're not that far in the month, but I've had some rough ones. And if the answer is no, I'm not balanced, or no, I'm not blissful, I just stop and I say, okay, what's out of alignment? And then I can usually fix it before it gets to be like this big snowball effect.
Mm-hmm. So I think that answer, my next question is, you know, how do you know that you're in alignment? So each month you pick these two words, and that's your check-in to know that you're in alignment.
Right. And how I come up with the two words is, on the first day of the month, I ask myself, how do I want to feel this month? Mm-hmm. And then I just wait for the answer. So it's not like I have these words and I'm just picking them off the list. I'm just kind of waiting to see what the answer is.
Mm-hmm. You're feeling into what's present for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I'm really loving this process that you have, Shannon. So I'm curious to know then, since you've implemented this focus, what has shifted for you?
Well, there's been quite a few things. So I just want to use this month as an example because we have the words balanced and blissful. I woke up on the morning of September 5th and I was supposed to work with this client and it just didn't feel good. It's been a little bit of a struggle and she just wasn't a good fit for me and I wasn't a good fit for her. Just take equal responsibility. And no matter what I tried to try and help her with, she just wasn't happy. And so I made a decision when I asked myself, am I feeling balanced and blissful? The answer was no to both of those. I made a decision to actually just let her out of her contract and send her on her way to find someone that was going to help her the way that she wanted to be helped, because that person wasn't me. So that's an example. Another example is this past week, I reached out to somebody who I thought might be a friend, but it's more of like a taking relationship. So like every time I'm in her presence, I just feel like I've been sucked dry. Like there's no contribution on the other end of things.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to make this work because she's such a nice person. I really do like her.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to make this work for like 2 years. And finally, this past week, I just said, this is so heavy and I'm over this. This is not making me feel blissful at all. And she was trying to get with me for lunch. Like she wanted to have lunch, And I didn't want to lie. Like I didn't want to have lunch. Like I don't even want to continue this relationship. So had a conversation with her, told her how I felt, sent her on her way. She's a member of the Academy, you know, I mean, the Facebook group. So she's there, but it felt so good after that was done because I didn't have to avoid the conversation anymore of why I didn't want to go meet up for lunch.
Yeah.
So living this way often requires having standards you live by and being courageous enough to do something about it when it's not working.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part, I think, is that piece.
Right. Right. And I think that's perfect for the theme of the show of Bold Magnificence is to really honor you and have the courage to honor you, even when it's uncomfortable, especially when it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we grow through the discomfort, right? So what I learned about the client I let go is that I actually, when I went back and looked at it, I didn't follow my own process I had set up before bringing her on as a client. She didn't go through the questionnaire. Like there were things there that I didn't do that I could avoid next time, right? So the question we often ask is, what is right about this that I'm not getting? Well, the answer was, what is right about this is that I've learned that everyone goes through the process so that we're not in this situation because it doesn't feel good for either party, right?
It's
just not a good situation. With the friend, what is right about the situation that I'm not getting is that I believe she's a nice person, but she's just not a good friend to me. And that's okay. I don't have to have hard feelings about it. I don't have to feel like I'm a bad person. I don't have to live with guilt or try and lie to get out of lunch date. So each one is a learning process, I think, if you can go back and reflect on it.
Yeah. And I really love what you just shared there, where you're not making either person wrong. You're not wrong. They're not wrong. There's nothing bad about her. There's nothing bad about you. It's just not a fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's removing the judgment around it. Because when we get in judgment zone, that's when all hell breaks loose. Mentally. And then people feel bad and feelings are hurt and it's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's so unnecessary.
Yeah. So looking back to, you know, pre-quarterly focus, pre-alignment, do you remember the wake-up call that you had that made you implement this to decide that you were more important than the way that you were living before?
There were probably a lot of them. And I don't think alignment total alignment is something that you reach and then you stop. I think it's a process and you've got to constantly be checking in. Well, the very first time that I realized my whole life was out of alignment was during my first marriage. And I woke up to like $50,000 in gambling debt overnight that I had no idea about. And it snowballed on him so fast, but it impacted me because I was the wife and had bills to pay and things that were due and there was no money. Plus we were 50 grand in the hole. So that was really like the first wake up call. And I tried to do what I thought I should do as a wife and as somebody who loved this guy. He had a gambling addiction. I didn't love his addiction, but he was a pretty awesome guy. And what happened? I stayed for the sake of doing the right thing. We dug ourselves out, and the next year we were back in the same situation again. That was the point where I really took a stand for my life. And I said, I didn't sign up for this shit. And I'm out of here. However, I have to get out of here. I have to get out of here. And it was hard. It was hard because, I was filled with shame. I didn't want to tell my family, but I freaking needed help because we had no money. And he was a good guy. Like, that was the hardest point. Like, I couldn't even be mad at him, really. Like, I mean, I was mad, but it wasn't like, whatever. It was an addiction, and I understand how addiction works. It's almost like a second personality. So that was the first time that I feel like I really woke up and I stood up for what I wanted, which was, it wasn't divorce. It wasn't starting all over again at $0 with all this debt. It wasn't selling my house, but what I wanted was to not be stressed out about money ever again in my entire life. And for that to happen, I had to sell a house, get divorced, move in with my sister, sleep in my niece's princess bed for 3 months while I could get on my feet. Like, there were things that had to happen because my decision was I wasn't going to live like that anymore. And that was probably the biggest stand that I've taken for myself that has still continued to impact how I run my business profit-wise, how I work with people, the integrity I have when I work with people, how open and honest I am about what I want from a relationship and what they want from a relationship. And we kind of enter, agreements from this place. And that was a defining moment in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's not taking away the uncomfortableness of it all and the stress, but what a gift that was to you.
Yeah. And I didn't see it then, obviously, because I was hurt and broke and financially stressed out and divorced, right? Like all the things that come with all of that stuff. But now, yes, such a blessing, and such a gift to continue actually putting it in place, what I learned from that, so that, I just keep raising the standards every year, the standards of my life raise, the standards of my business raise. And it's because I take time to really reflect on what's working and what's not working and what I want to change.
Wow. It was a big one, yeah. And I'm just taking a moment to breathe that in because it's it really speaks to who you are as a soul, as an individual. What a for you to go through that and to now be the gift you are to other people, to kind of take one that for the team in a sense, and then help people stand up for themselves. Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah. And it probably sheds a lot of light into a lot of stuff I do and say now that you have that backstory.
Yeah. And still, I'm really grateful for you, and I'm actually without words here. I'm just feeling our connection, and I'm appreciating it.
Yeah. Well, good. And I can share another one with you that has impacted myself as well, is and my life and my relationships. This is like the big relationship piece. So that was like the turning point for the money, right? Mm-hmm. Like how I was and was not going to be in a relationship with money. And this one is a relationships one. When I was making my exit plan to leave education, I was a teacher for 15 years. I got called into a lawsuit at the end. Had no idea. Didn't see it coming. It was a freaking nightmare. And that piece of my life was just like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And the reason I was called into this lawsuit was because I hugged a group of students in the hallway. And someone reported me for being inappropriate.
Wow.
So I was called into this thing. I had to go fight in the last like 40 days that I actually was leaving education behind. And it was very disheartening and it was very upsetting because I hadn't done anything wrong. And I still stand on this. I've written many articles about it. But there's nothing wrong with hugging your students. Absolutely zero wrong with it. It's our view of society and the kind of crazy people that have warped people's view of that. So anyway, to make a long story short, I won, thank God. But that was a defining moment. One, because if I didn't fight it and my heart wasn't in it to fight it because I didn't need that job anymore. I wasn't ever going back to education. So I had to find and stand on my principles of there's nothing wrong with hugging a group of students who were happy and we were in celebration mode. I had to pull from that place of what I really, really believed about humanity and relationships and my relationship with people to get through that time, because I wasn't doing it to save my job. The job I was already leaving, so I had to dig deep. And the other thing is I needed to win that, because had I not, I would have been a whatever those things are, sexual offender registered on that list that everyone gets to, you know, access to that says I mistreated children, which was just bullshit. I was not willing to do that.
Right.
So that was a defining moment in relationships. And I was very hurt. And I was very exhausted. And I was very spiritually and emotionally depleted after that process. And I wrote a book about it. And I built a business where relationships come first, where I am looking forward to hugging people when I meet them in person, where I can be that sounding board for people when they need it and they just need somebody who's going to listen to them, and putting people first above everything else. That was the defining moment for me around this kind of whole thing of what you asked me, what am I jazzed up about now? So I think if we can learn from these kind of trials and tribulations, we can really create something amazing if we don't dwell in the past or the hurt or the pain, but can eventually move on and apply it to new things. I think there's lots of learning and reflection that can happen there.
Yeah. You didn't take it as, oh, I'm a victim of this. You're taking it as, wow, okay, I'm going to use this and define my life around this. Like this is, I'm taking a stand for this. This is so important to me, right?
Yeah. Exactly right. And that's always not easy, because emotionally it's just hard to be that person in the midst of it, right? And there were
right.
many times that I was crying, thought I wasn't going to win. They were scaring me in court. Like, you know how it is. Like, it's just not nice. It's not a nice environment and it's not a pleasant place to be in. But because I had always put my students first, the way that I actually won that case was that no student or parent would testify against me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge for me, because it could have taken one student who didn't like me because I gave him an F on a paper to turn on me. But I didn't run a classroom like that. I ran a classroom where relationships were first and everyone was equal. And we showed up and we loved each other and we helped each other through what we were going through. And then I taught content from that place. And that community building has really helped, I think, with what I have going on now and all the community building I'm doing in my own brand.
Yeah. So this is, you've mentioned this on Facebook, but this is definitely one of your superpowers because you've had this forever.
Yes. And I didn't know I had it until about a year ago when I was working with a coach and she said, "Do you realize what an amazing community builder you are?" I was like, "No," because I didn't. And she's like, "Well, I've only been working with you for like 3 months and I can see it. Like, let's play on this. Let's build an academy. Let's build a place where you can nurture people." And that's really how that whole thing came about, was because she saw in me what I hadn't recognized yet.
Yeah. Beautiful, Shannon. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed having you as a guest here and sharing your story and the insights you've gained, and it's really touched my heart. Before we close, two things. One is I'd love for you to share your website and the quiz that you'd like people to engage with. And then after that, have you share a process or a practice? Well, you've shared many already, but maybe you have another one. If not, that's okay too, that helps you stay in alignment.
Yeah, I'll put one out of my sleep. Okay, so I developed something that's helping entrepreneurs and business owners all around the world get aligned in their content marketing and be able to show up as who they truly are. And that's called the Content Personality Wheel. And you can go to my website at www.mshannonhernandez.com and you can take the quiz. It takes about 5 minutes and it's going to help you get super clear on what kind of content is going to be really fun for you to create to market in your business. So that's a lot of fun. And we talk about stories and how to market with stories. It's a great, great community. We would love to have you join us.
Thank you, Shannon.
Yeah, thank you. The other thing, I think another practice is movement for me. It's really big. And I was training for the marathon, the New York City Marathon. I'd actually qualified a couple years ago and I got injured and couldn't run for about 8 months. And that was really hard for me because I had labeled myself as a runner. And when I couldn't run, I had seen myself as a failure. And it's not easy to qualify for the New York City Marathon. And after 8 months of not running, I was in no shape. Plus, I just didn't have the spirit to even try and do that path again. So for a long time, I beat myself up over seeing that as a failure. But I've come around, and now what I found that I love and a practice that I have every day is movement. And I love yoga and I love walking, just long walks out in nature or long walks through the park, the big park here in Brooklyn. And I find a way to do that 5 to 6 times a week, if not more, because that movement is really what helps me get all the energy out that I have. And I do a lot of really good thinking when I'm out walking or on my yoga mat. And so that is a key practice for me staying balanced and blissful year round.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Shannon. Again, I appreciate you so much. And thank you so much for sharing your magnificence with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Nat.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode of the Bold Magnificent Podcast. Really apologize for the audio interference and the poor quality of the recording. I'm not sure what happened there, but I do appreciate you for listening anyway. Shannon shared so many great tips on how you can start living in alignment with what lights you up, it just didn't seem right to try to re-record the interview because so much greatness came out of it. If you like our show, please give us a great rating in iTunes and go ahead and subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Thanks so much and look forward to connecting with you again next time.